I am a scientist. I am interested in the world, this wonderful world that we live in, and I am especially interested in human beings. This world that we live in is really a wonderful one. We have found out how wonderful through the discoveries of scientists. The greatest of all these discoveries is the discovery of the way to release the great stores of energy that are in the nuclei of atoms. I think that this is going to make the world an ever better place to live in. It is, of course, the discovery also that led to the development of nuclear weapons, atomic bombs, hydrogen bombs. These weapons are terrible. One great bomb that has been detonated has an explosive energy that is 16 times greater than that of all of the explosives used in the Second World War. I don't know how many of these bombs exist. A number such as 10,000 in the United States stockpile and a similar number in the Russian stockpile have been mentioned. I am sure that the United States has enough of these terrible weapons to destroy the world, and that Russia has enough to destroy the world. We must not have a nuclear war. We must begin to solve international disputes by the application of man's power of reason in a way that is worthy of the dignity of man. We must solve them by arbitration, negotiation, the development of international law, the making of international agreements that will do justice to all nations and to all people, will benefit all nations and all people. And now is the time to start. I feel strongly about this. Some months ago, not as a result really of my own decision, after I had given a talk in the chapel, Memorial Chapel of Washington University in St. Louis, I was encouraged to prepare an appeal to stop bomb tests. Then, after this appeal had been signed by more than 2,000 American scientists in a period of 2 weeks, I began to get voluntary expressions of adherence to this appeal from scientists in other countries. I wrote a few hundred letters then to scientists in other countries whom I know and to those whose names I had got out of the scientific literature and reference books, and I received in a few months thousands more of answers, so that on the 11th of January of this year, 13th of January, I was able to present a petition with 9,235 signatures of scientists in 44 countries, 36 Nobel laureates, 101 members of the American National Academy of Sciences, to the Secretary General of the United Nations. Now, in the issue of Life for the 10th of February, 1958, there has been published an attack on this petition. I call it an attack on this petition because on the cover of Life is the statement, Dr. Teller refutes 9,000 scientists. And the heading, the subheading says, Father of H-bomb and colleague, answer 9,000 scientists. Fallout is overrated. Moreover, I call it an attack because it contains many statements that are not true and many statements that are seriously misleading. I should like to read a sentence in this article. Since the people are the sovereign power in a democracy, it is of the greatest importance that they should be honestly and completely informed about all the relevant facts. They are not honestly informed nor completely informed by this article. Let me give some examples. The second sentence, the first sentence says that the petition was presented to the UN. The second sentence says, the petition said that the tests were endangering both the present population of the world and generations yet unborn. The tests were endangering the present population of the world and generations yet unborn. And then continues in the second paragraph to say that they are not true, this statement and the statement that is also made that I shall refer to in a moment. They are not true. Now, the petition, in fact, does not make the statement attributed to it. The petition says, each added amount of radiation causes damage to the health of human beings all over the world and causes damage to the pool of human germplasm, such as to lead to an increase in the number of seriously defective children that will be born in future generations. This statement is true. I don't know just how this article got written and published. It is, of course, an old trick of a politician to attribute to his adversary an untrue statement that he has not made and then to demolish it. This statement is not true. The third sentence says, Dr. Pauling said further that in his opinion, the U.S. will never achieve one of the principal objectives of its nuclear tests, the production of a clean bomb, that is, one with little or no radioactivity. And in the next paragraph, that statement too is said to be not true. The fact is that I have never made such a statement. Surely the authors of the article knew that I know enough about nuclear bombs not to have made this statement. I can't understand how this untrue statement could have been included in the article. I wonder if it could be that a statement that I have made could have confused them. I once said, I've repeated it, that any weapon that can kill millions of human, that to call any weapon that can kill millions of human beings a clean bomb is to insult a noble word in the English language, the word clean. There are other erroneous statements in the article. It is said that if tests continue at the present rate, radiation levels might increase as much as fivefold. But even in this situation, it is extremely unlikely that anyone would receive a lifetime dosage of as much as five Rontgens from worldwide fallout. Now, the authors surely know that in the 14th semi-annual report of the Atomic Energy Commission, published in July 1953, it is stated that 7,000 inhabitants in Nevada and Utah received five Rontgen or more of fallout radiation after some tests of small bombs at the Nevada testing ground. These include 4,500 residents of St. George, Utah, who were reported as having received 3.5 Rontgen in a 13-week period, and it also says that 50% more would be expected later from the same fallout. Perhaps the joker in this statement is worldwide fallout, but it is not so. Fallout is defined by the authors as consisting of local fallout and worldwide fallout. Local fallout is the radioactive contamination that falls to Earth in a short time and contaminates only the test area itself. The rest of it is worldwide fallout, according to the authors of this article. So that they either have to say that the inhabitants of southern Utah are in the test area, or that this statement is untrue. Another untrue statement relates to the incidence of leukemia in Denver as compared with San Francisco and New Orleans. Leukemia occurs, according to medical reports, in somewhat larger amounts in San Francisco and New Orleans than in Denver. even though there is known to be a greater amount of cosmic radiation, high energy radiation, similar somewhat to fallout radiation, in Denver. Now, the authors continue. The only things these statistics prove is that radiation in small doses need not necessarily be harmful, indeed may conceivably be helpful. This statement is not true. The statistics do not prove that small amounts of radiation are not necessarily harmful or may conceivably be helpful. It may be that the difference in the statistics is the result of a difference in medical practice or of some other factor, a difference in the amount of radioactivity in drinking water. I do not know. At any rate, this statement is untrue. Fallout, radioactive fallout, causes damage to the pool of human germplasm that does result in the birth of an additional number of defective children. I have estimated that the amount of increase in the mutation rate as the result of radioactive fallout carried on at the present rate is 1%. Testing at the present rate leads to a 1% increase in mutation rate, a 1% increase in the number of defective children who will be born in the future. Now, Professor Beadle, professor of biology, chairman of the Division of Biology in the California Institute of Technology, one of the world's leading geneticists, distinguished authority in this field and conservative in all of his statements, has told me that in his public statements, he also has made the estimate of 1%. Now, there are every year 75 million children born in the world. 2% of these children are seriously deficient because of heredity, of bad genes, the bad genes that are in the pool of human germplasm, partially due to the natural radioactivity in cosmic rays, and now being increased by fallout. The 2% of 75 million is 1.5 million seriously defective children born each year, with various grave diseases that cause them to die shortly after birth or in early childhood, to have mental deficiency or serious physical defects that makes them suffer all of their lives, or live their lives in a mental institution. 1% increase in this is 15,000 seriously defective children a year. This is the number, according to my estimate, Dr. Beadle's estimates, the estimates of Professor Crow, another distinguished geneticist, this is the number. Moreover, that will be born each year when equilibrium is reached. Moreover, the amount of testing at the present time corresponds to one large bomb, one super bomb with 10 megatons of fission released. We can say, accordingly, that the man who gives the order to test a single large superbomb with high fission yield is dooming 15,000 seriously defective children to be born in later generations. Also, there are serious effects on the health of human beings now living, according to the information that is now available. This is the opinion that I and many of my scientific colleagues, a great many, have.